morning. We've got two readings from the Bible this morning. And the first one is found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. It's on page 970 of the Church Bibles. So Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And our second reading is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. It's on page 1179 of the Church Bibles. 1179. So Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Well, we've already had a good morning. My name is John. We've already had a good introduction to the theme of this morning. Thank you, Ruth, for reading. Your name means friend or companion. Andrew, who was reading our music, he is strong, manly, and courageous, but not all parents get their names right for their children. And John derives from a Greek name, which itself comes from a Hebrew word, which means God is gracious. And if you're not sure which page of the Bible you should be on, can I ask that you might turn to page 77? I'll read verses 1, 2, and then 7. And God spoke all these words, chapter 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And then over the page, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Let me just pray before we look at this, this idea of not misusing God's name. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And Father God, please help me to be clear with what I say. I pray that any thoughts of my own and not from you will be discarded. And I ask that every word that is true and is from you would challenge us and cause us to respond in a way that is pleasing to you and in a way that honours your name. For we ask this in the name of our Saviour Jesus. Amen. Names are obviously important, and I guess most parents spend vast amounts of time making a final decision on a name for their baby. And what courage the parents of Jensen Preston had in giving him, he's 7 years old now, but he was given the 11 names of the Burnley Football Club first team. And the irony is, his surname is Preston, Burnley's local rivals. But you do hear strange stories. And as I was preparing for this morning, I came across the story of an American lawyer who had the unfortunate name of Odd. Now, I think that must have been his surname. And it's not surprising that he loathed it. Throughout his life, he suffered all sorts of jokes about his name. So much so that he decided that when he died, he would not have his name on his headstone. And so his instructions were followed. And the words on his inscription on his headstone were simply, here lies an honest lawyer. But it didn't work as people wandered through the churchyard and as some stopped at his headstone and read what was written, virtually all of them muttered to themselves, that is odd. I'm prepared to believe that story is true. But in biblical times, names were especially important. They were not simply a designation by which to identify a person, but often the name was also a description of their character. And perhaps the best known example is that of Jacob, who cheated his brother out of his birthright. And the name Jacob means supplanter, a person who takes someone else's place. And of course, the supreme example of a biblical name is that of Jesus. In the Bible, he was given that name because he came to save his people from their sins. It's the Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. So let us think about this third commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And if you're familiar with the Ten Commandments, a question. Do you think that this commandment is less important than the others? If you had to rank them in order of importance, I know you wouldn't want to, where would that come? I'm not looking for an answer, but it's a good question. So I was surprised to discover, as I read different commentators and consulted books, more than one of them suggested that this is the most neglected commandment. If people felt they could get away with just breaking one commandment, then this would be it. They were expressing the opinion that many people would feel less guilty about disregarding this commandment than any of the others. If that is true, and I'm not convinced that it is, it's very surprising, especially because there's a very clear warning which God has given in relation to the commandment. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So the priority over the next 20 minutes or so is to try and understand in what ways we can misuse God's name, and to be absolutely clear that we really must take this seriously. God's warning is serious. But firstly, we need to understand how precious and holy is the name of God. The proper name of God is Lord, and that's all in capitals when it appears in our Bible. And it's a translation, it comes from the translation of the Hebrew word spelt YHWH. I've chosen not to pronounce that. It's unpronounceable without any vowels. And there was a good reason for that spelling. God did not want his name pronounced. It was too precious to be on the lips of sinful men. In the Jewish calendar, it was only on one occasion during the year that that name was spoken, and then only by one individual. It was at the festival of the Day of Atonement when the high priest would use the name Yahweh with the two vowels added to enable it to be pronounced. And also the rabbis, when copying the scriptures, they would not write the name of Yahweh without first washing their whole bodies. And they would only write the name using a stylus which hadn't previously been used. Such was their concept and their acknowledgement of how holy the name of God was. It would require more time to than we have available to fully grasp what the name of God means. And it's interesting, we've started this series of looking at the various names of God. But the encounter which Moses had with God at the burning bush will give us something of an insight into how precious and holy his name really is. Could you turn back to page 60, to Exodus chapter 3? You may be familiar with this story. of how Moses saw this bush that was on fire, but it was not being consumed. The Lord told Moses that he was aware of the circumstances of the Israelites enslaved in Egypt, and Moses was the man who wanted to go to Pharaoh to demand that the Israelites be allowed to leave Egypt. Moses was very reluctant and tells the Lord he feels totally inadequate. The Lord assures Moses that he will be with him, which prompts Moses in verse 13 to say to God, Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. That is what you are saying to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'" It's a rather bewildering statement. I am who I am. And many scholars have confessed to find it bewildering, so I find no shame in equally being bewildered by it. But God was saying that he was and is beyond adequate description. He was speaking of his self-existence, his self-sufficiency, the fact that he's not dependent upon anyone or anything, the fact that he's not answerable to anyone. I am who I am speaks of God's absolute power and control over all creation. It speaks of his sovereignty. And one of the characteristics of God is that he does not change. And today his name is as precious and as sacred as when he revealed himself to Moses. And what is as bewildering as I am is the fact, and Jonty made reference to it earlier, that we are invited into his presence, and we, through the Lord's Prayer, address him as Father and speak to him in prayer. And that's just an amazing privilege we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can come into the presence of the Holy God and we are invited to address him as Father. And it's appropriate to note that the very first petition in that prayer, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, the very first petition is that God's name should be hallowed, should be kept holy. Even before we ask God to forgive us and thank God, the first petition is that God's name should be hallowed. And what is bewildering to me is that God should lavish such great love upon all who come to him through Jesus and should call him his children. Although God has not changed, the world and society seems to change constantly. And God's name is now misused, abused, despised more widely and in more shocking ways than ever before. I suspect that unless God intervenes in a miraculous way, the world, or at least many nations, will continue to see a constantly growing and blatant disregard for God and his name. But before we condemn the world out there, we must consider what it really means to misuse God's name. And as we do so, we may conclude that the condemnation does not just lie in the world, but in the church too. When we think of misusing the name of the Lord, we immediately think of our speech, which is offensive to God in some way. Let us start by thinking about taking oaths in God's name. In Old Testament times, swearing by oaths was quite normal and was encouraged. But any failure to observe and keep an oath was to misuse God's name. In Leviticus 19, verse 12, "Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." But Jesus, taught the disciples that they should not swear on oaths. There was no need to. They just had to be totally truthful and honest in everything they said. Let me just read two or three verses from Matthew 5 when Jesus was teaching his disciples. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the oaths you have made. But I tell you, do not swear on oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. However, there are times when we do make a promise before God, and if we fail to keep it, we have misused God's name. God's view is very, very serious when we break a promise or a vow which we have made before him. God's name is also misused when we used lightly or carelessly in a frivolous manner or with lack of reverence. Sadly, the name of God and the name of Jesus are part of the normal vocabulary of so many people who have no regard for God. They may not set out to deliberately offend. There may be no malicious intent, but they have misused the name of God and are guilty before him. And how do we feel and how do we respond when we're in the company of people who constantly use the name of God or Jesus lightly or as a swear word? I hope you feel uncomfortable. It's difficult to know how to respond. If we love the Lord, we shall feel very uncomfortable. I was with someone a month ago, hoping for an opportunity to be able to share something of the gospel. Not only did I fail to do that, but I had to endure his constant misuse of the name of God's Son. I'm waiting to see whether the Lord opens up the door for a further visit. I have to confess that if he doesn't, I will not be too disappointed. That may be wrong, but it was so uncomfortable just constantly hearing the name of God's Son used so lightly and probably not knowing what he was doing. But it's not only unbelievers who use God's name lightly and carelessly. Christians are not exempt from careless talk which dishonours the Lord's name. And it's crucial that we guard our lips. It's one thing to speak irreverently or carelessly without malicious intent, but there are increasing numbers of people who take great delight in speaking of God with blatant contempt and malice. There's little doubt that it's more widespread than ever. Even many who do not believe there is a God still seem to want to profane the name of the God whose existence they deny. Profaning the name of God obviously gave Ernest Hemingway great pleasure. He corrupted the Lord's Prayer, and you may be familiar with it. Our Nada, who art in Nada, Nada be thy name. And Nada is the Spanish for nothing. How contemptuous. He thought he would have a go at Psalm 23 too. He could not resist corrupting that to show his disdain for God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want him for long. What contempt for the holy creator God, who is self-sufficient, is self-existent, is sovereign with absolute power and control over the entire universe, whose name is and should be precious to all. It is precious to those who choose to love and follow him. And then there was Bart Simpson's utterance. I won't call it a prayer. God, we paid for all this stuff, so thanks for nothing. Amen. And this is the contemptuous stuff that we hear of people who have no regard for our holy God. And then there are those who actually curse God. Scholars believe that Goliath did that when David came out to engage in battle with him in 1 Samuel 17. Most versions say the Philistine cursed David by his gods. But many scholars believe from the original manuscript that Goliath cursed David not by his gods, but by the God of Israel. And then there are those who misuse God's name by teaching falsely or prophesying falsely in his name. And another two or three verses from Matthew 7, which I find the most worrying verses or challenging verses in perhaps the gospel. And this is what Jesus said: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" But I still don't think we're finished. So far, we've just focused on spoken words by which we misuse God's name. But I think we're also guilty of breaking this commandment when we engage with books, music, films, theatre, which dishonour God and his name. And when we engage with people who do that likewise. Of course, we are in the world and we need to live with people and work with people who do not honour the Lord's name. But we need to be careful about how we engage with such people and about those friends whom we choose to have who constantly dishonour God's name. I believe too that we can misuse God's name here on a Sunday. If we come to worship, but if our thoughts and our minds and our hearts are far from God, even as we sing, even if we sing songs that proclaim God's name, but our thoughts are not with God, but our thoughts are elsewhere, we have not really engaged with God. We are dishonouring and misusing his name. I believe that we misuse his name if we say amen to a prayer which we haven't listened to and we haven't engaged with. We've been thinking about all sorts of other things, but when we might then say amen, but surely we are misusing God's name in doing that. You may be thinking that you've had enough. Let me tell you how fortunate you're only to have 20 minutes of this. I've struggled with this for a couple of weeks, and all my doubts have been removed. I know that God would declare me guilty of breaking this commandment. But good news is about to come for anyone who's beginning to feel they may be guilty by this commandment. But first, let me read from an article which I came across and which reflects my own thoughts as I was just preparing for this. There's a larger sense in which people today take the Lord's name in vain. Those who name the name of Christ, who pray in his name, and who take his name as part of their identity, but who deliberately and continually disobey his commands, are taking his name in vain. Jesus Christ has been given the name above all names, of which every knee shall bow. And when we take the name of Christ upon ourselves, we must do so with an understanding of all that that signifies. If we profess to be Christians, but act, think, and speak in a worldly or profane manner, we take his name in vain. When we misrepresent Christ, either intentionally or through ignorance of the Christian faith as proclaimed in Scripture, we take the Lord's name in vain. When we say we love him, but do not do what he commands, we take his name in vain. And a reminder of the second part of this commandment: for the Lord would not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name or takes his name in vain, which are the words used in other versions. If you're a Christian here today, you know what you can do with your guilt. You know what has already happened to your guilt. Jesus has taken it upon himself. But we need to confess before God. And there will be an opportunity to do that in a couple of minutes when I pray. But first, can I just tell you about the duck I encountered on the M23 on Thursday? I came off the M25 at Junction 7 and joined that final stretch of the M23 before it becomes the A23. Fortunately for the duck and the six or seven chicks that were following it, it's not the busiest stretch of motorway across the country. And fortunately for me and for the chicks, I was on the near side lane and they had just crossed from the outside lane into the centre lane. Clearly they'd wandered into the motorway totally oblivious of the danger it presented. Although, as I passed, I think there may have been just a hint of a sign that Mother Duck was realising that they should not pursue their crossing. So why do I tell you this and keep you waiting for your coffee or tea? Well, just in case there's someone here this morning who is oblivious of the danger they face because they have no fear of God and how close they may be to it. That duck and the chicks were totally oblivious of the danger they were walking into. And today, most people in this country are totally oblivious of the idea that they need to fear God. They do not realise that God declares them guilty, as he does every person who's ever lived. They do not realise that one day they will have to face the reality and consequences of that guilty verdict. And they do not realise that that one day might come any day. And neither do they realise they can experience God's amazing mercy, love and kindness instead of his wrath. They do not realise that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world for that very purpose, to rescue them from the condemnation which they're under. And they do not realise the joy and peace which comes from living a truly fulfilled and purposeful life as a follower of Jesus. And I just want to say, before lead us in a prayer of confession, that if there's anybody here this morning who hasn't grasped the reality of God's wrath and haven't sought the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from God's wrath, and I would encourage you to reflect upon that, not only reflect upon it, but to act upon it even this morning. But let me pray a prayer of confession, if it's appropriate for you. If you believe that you have misused the Lord's name, then I would ask you to join in with an amen. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I know that I've been guilty of misusing your name, of not always revering your name, and of bringing dishonour to the name of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, and I thank you for forgiving me as you have promised. I thank you for the wonderful truth in your word that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I bring this prayer to you in the name of your dear Son, Jesus, whose name is above every name, and at whose name every knee will bow. Amen.